30 pieces of silver. Not so much. I'm not a greedy man. Enough for a new robe and sandals. That's all I wanted to keep. The rest could go to the struggle, to the funds. They say I was money mad, but I know the value of it is all. It's not about the money. It wasn't all about the money. What? Do you tell yourself your motives are pure? Always pure? Who are you kidding? I was 28. I had nothing, nothing but a raging passion to rid my country of these Roman pigs, and a love for this Jesus, and a hatred for that same Jesus. A patriot, a disciple, a good Jew. A young blood with a raging thirst for justice, for Judea and my home, a hunger for the woman waiting for me. But would I say no to a pouch of shining silver coins? Can you blame me? Are you so perfect? If you've ever been poor, that night when the woman fell at his feet, I wasn't the only one to see the waste, the shocking waste. We were at Bethany, the home of Simon the leper, still bouncing with joy at being healed, at being back with his family, earning a living. And the food was good enough, the wine passable. But then this woman, Mary, sister of Martha, she came in and took a bottle of nard.
Thank you, Mary.
Pure nard.
Let me wash you.
Pure nard.
Put your head back.
And she poured it on his hair. Hey, some of it.
This is so kind of you.
I could have said something then, but I bit my lip. She worked it through his hair, and he looked so exhausted, so at peace.
Let me do your feet.
But then she came to his feet, and she knelt down, and she only poured a great handful and started to rub it into his feet. His feet. I mean, that stuff, it's worth a small fortune. She must have used the whole bottle.
What's she playing at? Lord, stop her, John!
Martha, stop her! This is madness!
Your poor feet!
Pack it in! Someone take the bottle off her!
But no one did. There were others who weren't happy. I wasn't the only one. Andrew, with a wife and children to feed. James, needing a new cloak. But Jesus reached down and touched her cheek. And that smile, you'd walk 100 Roman miles for that smile.
Leave her alone.
But Lord, what a waste. We could have taken that and sold it.
Oh, here we go. Old Moneybags Judas.
For the poor. We could have sold it for the poor.
But Jesus looked at me like he could see into my heart.
Mary's anointed me ready for the grave.
Mary. So she dried his feet with her hair. I mean, talk about worship. I wanted to feel that depth of love and adoration, her certainty. I'm a proud Judean, the land of temples and scholars and priests. How could I kneel at his feet? I couldn't bear it any longer, the doubts, the anger, the waiting. So when they all wandered out to pray and talk, I turned the other way. No one noticed me go, or cared, the outsider. I walked past the drunks and the night watchman walking briskly, a man on an errand, hell-bent on the devil's errand. Crisp night air, when sounds seem to carry for miles, my footsteps sounding out like cymbals, bells, shouting to the world, "There he goes, the traitor!" It's 2 miles from Bethany to Jerusalem. At the temple, when I asked for the chief priest, the guards laughed and barred my way. I put a hand out to protest, and they took a step back. Was I a zealot with a dagger in my robe? Was I going to plunge a blade into the soft, well-fed stomach of the high priest? That's what 3 years on the road does to you. Suddenly, I saw myself with their eyes, my worn sandals, my cracked lips, the old robe, my sun-dried hair. What I would have given for a linen shift and some of Mary's oil to tame my wild madman's beard. I saw myself as they did, shabby and poor. And then I thought of 30 pieces of silver. If I'd been undecided, wavering, those guards had made my mind up for me. And eventually, after treating me like dirt on their boots, I was shown into the inner court.
You're one of them, the Nazarenes.
No, but I'm with them.
A fine difference.
I'm in with them, not one of them. I can tell you where Jesus is when he is.
We know where he is. Just follow the crowds.
But you don't want to seize him when he's in the center of the mob, do you? You don't want to risk a riot. The people are already sick of the temple.
Mind your tongue!
Instead of sitting at your feet, they sit at his. Instead of paying your temple taxes, they flock to him wherever he goes. His goodness shows up your corruption, your complacency.
Be careful what you say.
You're afraid of him.
Guard! Throw him out!
No, we'll listen to what he has to say.
The Romans sense revolution in the air. They ask why you aren't doing anything to stop him. Why this rebel is allowed to mock the priests and the authorities.
Well, go on, friend.
So you know you have to arrest him, sooner or later. You have no choice. They'll soon forget him, these peasants, credulous fools.
On what charge?
Arrest first and charge second.
I can lead you to him. When there are no crowds, no witnesses.
It would need to be soon, before the Passover.
It will be.
Early in the night, so that once we have the charge, we can take him to the governor before daylight.
Under cover of darkness. Yes.
Under the cover of darkness. That stabbed my heart.
I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life.
I heard his voice so clearly. If at that moment...
Walk by the light you have so darkness doesn't destroy you. Believe in the light. Then the light will be within you. Children of light.
But I hardened my heart. I'm comfortable in the dark. At night, obviously.
Your price?
We couldn't pay more than 30 pieces of silver.
30? 30? Just exactly, I mean exactly what I'd been thinking. No bargaining, no haggling needed. I felt like laughing out loud. I hadn't had to bargain at all.
But I thought for a moment, pretended to think anyway, and then I bowed, and they bowed, and the deed was done. My dearest friend, my master, sold. But as I walked away, I told myself the deed wasn't yet done. I could change my mind. There was time before Passover. When I got back, they were all sleeping, the air thick with their sighs and dreams. I slipped in, picking my way through the bodies. Which was Jesus? Was he lying awake, waiting for my return? Did he somehow divine what I had done? I lay down, pull my cloak around me, over my head, over my eyes, blotting out the feeble flicker of a single oil lamp. Because even that was a reproach. We were up early that morning in Bethany. A quick gulp of water and a hunk of bread and we set off. Seemed like the whole world had the same idea. Passover in Jerusalem. The roads were mad. As we drew near, the streets were already crowded. Traders selling everything from Passover lambs to rolls of linen, fresh baked loaves, wine, you name it. Chaos. I had this sort of half memory, half thought. Something about the lamb. Was it John the Baptist? Calling Jesus the Lamb of God? But it was only a vague memory. Elusive. Pushed out by the thought of that money. The temple was already crowded. Merchants selling doves and haggling over the exchange rate of Greek and Roman coins. Chaos. Jesus took one step in, leaving behind the court of women, looking round like he couldn't believe what he was seeing. It was a marketplace. A place of prayer. No way. An old man, deep in worship, was shoved to one side to make room for a money table. A young man, bowing low, was sent reeling as a dove seller threw down a roosting cage. And Jesus, watching all this, shouted,
"No!"
And he was off, furious.
"I am the Lord, your God. You will have no gods before me. Not money. Not your filthy money. You have turned the house of my father into a den of thieves!"
"Master, don't. They'll arrest you.
Get him away."
I could see my reward going up in smoke. I thought for sure they'd cart him off. But, you know, he was so terrifying that they simply melted away in front of him. The merchants, yelling and confused and resentful as they were,
They just gathered up their money and their doves and their papers. And the priests looked the other way, and the guards stood frozen. And in minutes, seconds, it was peaceful, a place of prayer again. Amazing. We looked at Jesus, and he was standing there, still as a statue, calm, as if nothing had happened, praying, wrapped in prayer. I still half expected the temple guards to come and grab him, haul him off, but no. Weird.
When someone gives you a hard
As the day wore on, Jesus began to teach, and we all listened. He sat where the women could hear him, too. Everyone, spellbound. Priests sidled in, their heads covered, hands joined, their faces inscrutable.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself.
Who could argue with that? At last, Jesus was all talked out, and we headed back for the evening meal, walking against the crowd this time. The sun beginning to set, the air crisp. On any other night, I could have been happy. When we were taking our places at the table, and the woman came in with the water for washing, he only takes it from her.
I'll take that.
And puts a towel around his waist and kneels down to wash our feet. Our master, a kneeling servant, tenderly washing away the grime of Jerusalem.
You can't wash my feet, Lord.
But he carried on, unmoved. Unless he washes our feet, we can't have anything to do with them. So we sat while he knelt. I looked down at his bowed head and I thought, this man isn't going to overthrow anyone. Who are we kidding? It had grown quiet outside, darkness stealing down, the smell of fires and cooking. The people wandering home at last. Maybe now. Maybe after supper, when they go up the mount to pray. I could feel the excitement mounting. Anticipation. That heady, fearful mix. Dare I do it? When they brought in the olives and bread, he looked at me. And he dipped a piece of bread into the oil and gave it to me. Some sort of, I don't know. Beats me, benediction? And he said, so gently, no reproach. Just, I don't know, maybe sorrow.
What you have to do, best do it quickly.
I burned. Burned. Was I glad to get out of there, away from that calm gaze, hurrying away from the light, fast as I could go, into the welcoming dark. No sound but my rasping breath, the slap of my feet on stone, the pounding of blood in my ears, and the echo of his words.
The one who shared my bread has turned against me.
His voice crowding in, memories clamoring, so I ran on, escaping. But still I heard him.
The one who shared my bread has turned against me. What you have to do, best do it quickly.